It's tuned to yesterday, broadcasting shows from the golden age of radio. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark LeVanier. In this hour, drama. Later on, we hear Orson Welles head up This Is My Best from CBS. Right now, it's the Prudential Family Hour from the same network from November 7th, 1948, with screen actor Ray Milland along with Alan Reed, Joseph Kurds, Herb Vigran, and Frank Lovejoy.
The Prudential Family Hour of Stars. Each week, the Prudential Insurance Company of America brings you one of its family of seven great Hollywood stars. Humphrey Bogart, Betty Davis, Ray Milland, Gregory Peck, Ginger Rogers, Barbara Stanwyck, and Robert Taylor in a series of radio plays by Hollywood's finest writers with the music of Carmen Dragon. Today, a dramatic story entitled The Deeper Shadow. Our star, Mr. Ray Milland. It's 4 o'clock of a mid-November afternoon, a cold, bleak afternoon huddled under a leaden Ohio sky. A tired young man carrying a doctor's black bag walks slowly down the street and stops to watch a crew of men empty the house ahead of him into a moving van at the curb. He smiles without amusement.
Hey, take it easy, will you, fellas? You ain't wrestling potatoes. This stuff breaks easy.
Yeah, very easy.
Huh?
Hello, Mac.
Oh, hi, hi.
If anybody was to ask me, I'd say it looks like Doc Culver was going out of business.
Yeah, that's right, Dr. Culver.
You know, it's funny how much stuff a man can accumulate in a year.
Yeah, real tough losing everything like this. A lot of people in this town are going to be real sorry when they hear about it, Doc.
Well, it's my own fault, I guess. Maybe I should have checked the patient's bank balances before checking the temperatures. Only the temperatures seemed more important at the time.
That's really a shame. You know, every guy in town without a buck always calls you.
Well, the strange thing about the poor, they get sick just as often as the rich. Maybe even more often.
Right. You should have made sure that you had a few paying patients, Doc.
Look, a doctor's job isn't diagnosing pocketbooks. It's fighting disease.
Yeah, but you... Well, what are you going to do now, Doc?
I don't know. Look for a job, I guess.
You always wanted to be a doctor, didn't you?
Yeah, ever since I was a kid. You're pretty much all through, aren't you?
Yeah, a couple of minutes.
Well, I'll go on in.
Doc, the guy from the finance company is inside, Mr. Barnes.
Ah. Probably wanted to make sure he didn't overlook any little items, like the X-ray machine.
That's right, Doc.
Well, keep your feet dry. I'll be seeing you.
You bet, Doc. You bet.
Hello, Mr. Barnes.
Well, hello, Dr. Culver. Well, we're just about finished here.
Fine.
Yeah, bad business. Sorry about this.
Thanks.
Well, it's the way things are. Bills have got to be paid. Books have to be kept in order,
I don't suppose items like babies delivered or bones set or fever driven down, don't suppose they count, do they?
Well, they're not the kind of thing you can feed to an adding machine, are they?
No, they're not.
I'm much older than you are, Dr. Culver. I hope you're not too proud to take a little advice from me.
I'm not proud.
You're like a great many young men, Doctor. Idealists, head in the clouds kind of thing. Doesn't pay, Doctor. Doesn't pay.
Look, I didn't become a doctor to make money, but because I wanted to help people.
Of course. But to do that, you need money, boy. Charity begins at home. A pauper is of no help to anyone, including himself. The moral?
Yes, Mr. Barnes, the moral. By all means, the moral.
Make money. No matter how, no matter what your ideals, aims, desires are, it all begins with one imperative. Make money. Well, goodbye, Doctor.
Make money. Hello? You want Dr. Culver? Well, he isn't in. When will he return? God knows. All right. Sorry, I dozed off.
You help me inside, Doc?
Why, sure. But look, I'm not taking patients.
Yes, I know. It's after office hours, but I need some help. I've had a little accident. Let me get my coat open.
Look, I'll take that briefcase you've got.
I can manage it. Yeah, I can get it out of this sleeve. There.
Good Lord.
How does it look to you?
Not good. Hey, you're losing a lot of blood. Sit down.
Okay.
Your shirt will have to come off. Here. Now.
Well?
Those are gunshot wounds.
I didn't say they were flea bites.
Sit tight.
Where you going?
A couple of phone calls to make. Hospital and police.
Police?
Routine. They have to be notified about all gunshot wounds.
Doc.
Hello?
Put that phone down.
What?
I couldn't miss you this close. I said put it down.
All right.
Starting from now, the gun's on you all the time. Doc, you shouldn't get ideas all by yourself. Now put a bandage on me and stop the bleeding.
That's no good. I have to dig for the bullets.
Well, later on, somebody might get nosy about that phone call you didn't make. Now, will you put a bandage on me?
All right. Yeah. You better hold still.
What's your name, Doc?
Culver.
Yeah, that's right. I saw it on the shingle.
Easy now.
Doc, how would you like to take a look inside this briefcase, huh?
Look, you better not talk too much.
Who do you think you are, telling Barney Shields what to do?
Now, take it easy, Mr. Shields.
Yeah, heck, Doctor. Listen, I pulled the job off, didn't I? I got the proof right here in this case. Yeah, maybe I stopped a couple of slugs, but how many operators could take a bank all by themselves, huh?
There you are. That's all I can do for you here.
I don't feel so good.
The hospital's a place for you.
No hospital. I don't feel so good, Doc. Doc.
Yes?
I'm going to need some more medical attention. I think you better come with me.
But look,
I got a car. We can duck up some back road. Let's get started, huh?
No.
Listen, if I don't get taken care of pretty soon, I'll kick off, won't I?
That's right.
So I've got nothing to lose. So if you act stubborn, you'll get there first. Well?
Well, it's a pressing invitation. All right, I'll come along. I don't have anything to lose either.
You drive nice, Doc.
Thanks.
If you're playing with any idea, driving right up to the police.
No ideas.
Yeah, you better not. You know, Doc, if you fix me up, I'm going to pay you a nice fee.
That makes you different from all my other patients.
Sure. How many of them go around carrying $30,000 in a briefcase, huh?
Not more than a handful.
You're a great kidder, Doc. Look, I'm not bleeding so much now.
No?
But I feel worse.
Well, you're probably bleeding internally.
That's not good?
No.
Tell me the truth. How are my chances?
I can't be sure, but I think you've run out of chances, Shields.
I like that, huh? Listen, cops. Step on it, Doc, will you?
No, the road's too rough. If we hit a bump too hard, it would finish you.
But they'll get me. Barney Shields.
Shut that door, you fool.
I'm getting out. Those cops are going to get me.
Shields, this briefcase you... But you won't need it. Not where you've gone, and I might. Wherever it is I'm going.
Ten years have passed. It's November again, but a warmer November in a small town on the California coast. A cornerstone is being laid, and in the warm sunshine, most of the town's population is listening to the mayor, who, like most mayors, is making a speech.
We're going to have a hospital here in Mica. About time, too. They've wanted one for years, needed one. And today we're laying the cornerstone for that hospital. But before going on with the ceremony, I want to remind you that the man most responsible for seeing that this dream of ours is becoming a reality is that public-spirited citizen, that leading industrialist...
Ted.
Yes, Mrs. Randall.
Are you blushing?
Well, I am trying to.
You'd better. You'll lose your reputation for modesty if you don't. The mayor's talking about you, you know.
Well, not from a description.
And friend and fellow countryman... Ted
or
Randall?
Yeah. Ted, make a speech.
Oh, Jane, I can't. I'm not the type to...
Type or not, they want you to.
Oh, all right, I will. It'll serve them right.
Mr. Mayor, friends, I'm not sure I've got the right to make a speech to you. After all, I'm practically a stranger. Huh? I've lived in Meeker for only 10 years. But Meeker's been good to me. I found a home here, a wife and child whom I love, and happiness. And I've done all right in business, too.
Practically owns the town.
Well, that isn't very important, except that it's made it possible for me to help. And helping others is pretty much the first job of any man. And I've been lucky. Luckier than most people, I think, without doing anything to deserve it. And, well, maybe the best part of my luck was that I came to Meeker one day years ago and that you let me stay and become one of you. And, well, that's about all, I guess.
Nice going, Tim.
Tim, you dope. That was a wonderful speech.
Was it? What'd I say?
Mr. Randall, turn your head this way a minute.
What?
That's right.
Ted, close your mouth. The photographer was taking a picture.
Photographer?
From the county paper. Ted, what's the matter?
Well, I gotta stop him.
Why?
Because I... Oh, nothing. Nothing. It's just that... Well, who in his right mind wants to look at this face over his morning coffee?
I do, darling. It's a very handsome face. You're too modest, isn't he, Mr. Mayor?
What's that, Mr. Randall?
He's upset because he's getting his picture in the county paper.
That's downright silly. Man like you, Ted, ought to have his picture in every paper in the country.
Pop?
Not Pop, Johnny.
Why?
Well, it isn't dignified.
Stinky calls his Pop Pop.
Sure, but don't forget that Stinky's father called Stinky Stinky.
Would you like to call me Stinky?
No. Look, why don't we drop the whole thing, huh?
Okay, Pop. Hey, what's the capital of New Mexico?
Butte.
Oh, that's Montana.
Since when? Little Rock?
Arkansas.
I give up.
You can't give up. We're not playing a game. We're doing my homework.
We are? Why don't you do your own homework?
It's beginning to look like I'll have to.
Well, dinner dishes are done. My, what a charming domestic scene. Ted, your pipe's drooling. Johnny, stop chewing that pencil.
Hi, Mom. Hey, Pop, how about some checkers?
Look, how do you expect to get your homework done?
I don't.
Well, what'll your teacher say?
Same thing she said yesterday, I guess.
Well, that's nice. What did she say yesterday?
Doesn't look like I'm ever going to be president. Anyway, maybe you know something about Ohio.
Why should I know anything about Ohio?
Well, gee, Pop, I...
Don't call me Pop. You better run along, Johnny. I don't feel so well.
Okay.
Johnny, it's late anyway. You get ready. I'll tuck you in, huh?
Okay, Mom. Good night, Pop.
Good night, Johnny.
Ted.
Yeah?
Ted, what's the matter? You've been so jumpy this last week.
Oh.
Ever since the Cornerstone thing. Has anything happened?
No, nothing, Jane. Just nerves, maybe.
You're working too hard, most likely.
Yeah, that could be it. Look... Honey, would you go tuck Johnny in?
Huh? All right.
Ohio. Ohio. All right, all right.
Dr. Culver?
I beg your pardon?
Oh, excuse me, that name was running in my mind. Mr. Randall?
Yes.
Mind if I come in?
No.
Nice place you got here.
Who are you?
Don't you recognize me?
No. Should I?
Well, the name is Shields, Barney Shields.
Well, what do you want, Mr. Shields?
Well, I saw this picture here in the paper. It looked a whole lot like a friend of mine, an Ohio man.
Well, it's a chance resemblance, I suppose.
You look a whole lot like this friend of mine. I'm not sure. I only saw this friend once, and the light wasn't very good. I was pretty sure that I'd recognize him again, though.
Well, I'm sorry I can't help you.
You could easily be a brother of his.
I have no brothers.
His name was Culver, Dr. Robert Culver. Doesn't mean a thing to you, huh?
No. Good night, Mr. Shields.
Yeah, it is kind of late. The reason I'm so anxious to find this friend of mine is that he owes me a lot of money, $30,000. That's the only reason. Good night, Mr. Randall.
Hmm.
How about another cup of coffee?
Coming up.
This Randall, Theodore Randall. He a local boy?
Yeah, I am.
Is he born here?
No. Been around a long time, though.
How long?
10 years. There's your coffee.
Well, you usually get a crowd around a construction job. What are they building, friend?
It's a new hospital.
Hospital for a town this size? Somebody's got too much money.
Well, most of it's come from one man.
Who?
Theodore Randall.
How much did he throw into the pot?
$30,000.
Mr. Randall?
Yes, Nellie?
Someone to see you in the outer office.
Who is it?
The sheriff.
Oh. Well, send him in, Nellie.
Yes, sir.
Hi, Ted.
Oh. Hello, Sheriff. You after my cigars again?
Oh, no, not today, Ted. Oh, there's something on my mind.
What?
Meeker's an awful small town. Strangers don't get lost here easy. A couple of days ago, one showed up. A man named Shields. That name familiar to you?
No, not to me.
Yeah, well, I didn't like his looks. The way he spoke reminded me of something, so I checked. He's an ex-convict, just finished serving a 7-year sentence.
That's so?
Mm-hmm. Got himself a job working on the new hospital.
Oh, that sounds all right.
Oh, sure. I don't hold a man's past against him if he's gone straight. The only thing is, he's been going around asking a lot of questions about you.
Has he?
No, he has. Well, he also gave your name as reference for the job.
My name?
Yeah. A funny story about him, too. 10 years ago, he robbed a bank all by himself. Got away with a lot of money. Was wounded, though. When the police finally caught up with him, he was pretty near dying in a ditch out on a back road. And money was gone.
Well.
Yeah. Police spent quite a bit of time looking for accomplices. Turned out he didn't have any. Well, they figured somebody passing by stole the money and just let it go at that. Except for one thing.
What was that?
The young doctor in town left kind of sudden that night. He hadn't been doing well, either.
Well, lots of doctors don't do well in Ohio or anywhere else.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Well, anyway, the police were kind of curious, felt they'd like to ask the doctor a few questions. And you know something? They never could find him.
Well, I don't imagine he'd have been able to help him, would he? After all, there was no connection.
No, except Shields had had his wounds bandaged. The bandaging looked kind of professional. Well, I don't want to keep you all day gossiping here.
Oh, it's all right. I wouldn't worry about Shields.
Okay, you're the doctor.
What?
Oh, I just thought I'd let you know about it. You do whatever you please. Goodbye. Oh, say.
Yes?
Did I say anything about Ohio? I guess I must have. Well, goodbye.
Of The Deeper Shadow, starring Ray Milland.
Hi, Mr. Randall.
What? Shields.
Yeah, say, Randall, about that guy who looks so much like you.
Yeah? You run into him yet?
Yeah. He's been living in this town for 10 years.
Shields, why don't you get out?
I like it here. I like it. $30,000 worth.
I haven't got nearly that much.
You've been handing out money to hospitals.
I had to do that.
Well, try a bank. You remember about banks, don't you? Now, listen, I'm getting tired working. I figure maybe I can hold out until tomorrow. And after that, I start talking.
I could kill you.
Oh, no. You're what they call a good man. You threw a curve once, and you want me more. Good night, Mr. Randall, and remember, tomorrow.
Take shape, huh, Ted?
What? Oh, you mean the hospital. Yes, it is, Sheriff.
Yeah. Around about lunchtime, 3/4 of the town congregates here.
Jane and Johnny are taking a 50-cent tour.
Nice boy, Johnny.
Very nice boy. Sheriff.
Yeah? Did
you find out anything more about Shields and that doctor?
Yeah, there's nothing to find out. It's a closed case, I figure.
Oh, well. Hey, that sounded like Jane. Come on, Sheriff.
They were pouring concrete over on that
side. Couldn't be Jane or Johnny.
Now, hold on now. A lot of people gather around.
Mike! Hey, Mike, what happened?
Pops went out. Concrete mixer started downhill.
What about Johnny?
He's okay. There he is.
Oh, it's easy, Johnny. Easy, boy. It's all right.
Dad,
oh, shh, darling. Nobody's been hurt.
Oh, yes, Ted. Yes, the man who saved Johnny was hurt.
Yeah, he was hurt bad.
Oh?
Johnny was right in the path of the mixer. Shields jumped in, pushed him away. Got hit himself.
Did you say Shields?
Yeah.
Where is he?
Oh, right over here. Come on. See? He's pretty much busted up.
Unconscious.
How about the doctor, Mike?
Doc Shea's up in the mountain. Sheriff on a delivery. We can't reach him.
Well, that's no good. This man needs immediate surgery. He'll die. Unless...
Unless what, Ted?
The nearest hospital.
That's 40 miles from here.
Well, he'd never get there alive. He's got to be moved out of the sun, indoors. Look, my house is close by. Mike, get some men together, will you?
Okay.
You can make a stretch out of some 2x4s and some shirts.
Yeah.
Get him to my house quick, huh? I owe him a life. Any word from Doc Shea yet?
Not yet, Ted.
Ted, sit down. There's nothing you can do.
He's going to die. He's losing too much blood. Darling, where's Johnny?
I put him to bed.
How was he?
He's a little feverish, but he's all right.
Why should a man like Shields risk his life to save a child, Sheriff? There was no money in it for him.
I don't know, Ted, except that maybe the human animal ain't all bad, especially when it ain't given too much time to think.
Listen to him, gasping his life out. A man whose life was lived under a shadow. An ex-convict. But maybe there's a deeper shadow. Jane?
Yes, darling?
Go upstairs. In my room, in the big closet, you know?
Yes?
At the back of it, you'll find a little black bag. Will you get it for me, please?
All right, Ted.
Say, Ted, during the war, I studied a lot of first aid. I won't be too much help, but I can help some when you operate.
Ted? Sheriff?
He'll live.
Oh, dear.
It was a fine job. Better than Doc Shea could have done.
Just patchwork. But he'll last till he gets to a hospital now. Well, Sheriff, I'm ready to go whenever you are.
Darling, what...
Ted, I'm sorry.
I thought building the hospital might repay, but that was too easy. Now it's about time I settled up. The only thing is, I got a lot of talking to do. Jane, if you could wait for me outside, Sheriff.
Ted, I'm frightened.
It's bad, Jane. It's very bad. But sometimes a doctor's got to hurt before he can heal. And if there's time enough and love enough...
I don't understand. I don't understand.
Sheriff.
Oh, sure. Take all the time you need. I won't mind waiting. And after tonight, I don't think she'll mind waiting either. I'll be out here, Dr. Culver.
Ray Milland will be back in just a moment to tell you about next week's Play and Star. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm sure you'll all enjoy Mr. Milland's stirring performance in the new Paramount picture, Sealed Verdict. Tonight's story was written especially for Mr. Milland by Doug Hayes and was directed by Jack Johnstone, with music composed and conducted by Carmen Dragon, and brought to you by the Prudential Insurance Company of America, the company with the strength of Gibraltar. Now, here again is Ray Milland.
First, I'd like to say thanks to an excellent cast, and especially to Frank Lovejoy, who played Barney Shields.
Now, next week, the Prudential Family Hour of Stars will bring you a story called Moonlight Sonata. And the star will be Barbara Stanwyck. Don't miss it. Goodbye, and I'll see you soon.
The Prudential Family Hour, on Tuned to Yesterday from November 7th, 1948 on CBS, featuring screen actor Ray Milland, who was in four motion pictures in the year of that broadcast, and also marked the year that he wrapped up his longtime contract with Paramount, famously having signed on in 1934. It's an hour of drama on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levanier. And now it's time for This Is My Best. With Orson Welles as producer, host, and performer for all of the broadcasts, he again stars in this April 24th, 1945 episode on CBS called Anything Can Happen.
Good evening, this is Orson Welles, inviting you to listen to Anything Can Happen on Cresta Blanca's This Is My Best.
This is My Best, America's greatest stars in the world's best stories. Presented each week by Schenley's Cresta Blanca wine. Wine of friendly nature. Pride of the vintner's art. Symbol of hospitality. Compliment to honored guests. A wine to serve proudly, saying, this is my best. This is Cresta Blanca. C-R-E-S-T-A. B-L-A-N-C-A. Cresta Blanca. Cresta Blanca. Now, here is our producer.
Orson Welles again. Anything Can Happen by George and Helen Papashvili is not so much a story as a collection of people, pretty wonderful people. So I think we're lucky that our cast tonight includes some pretty wonderful performers. Edgar Berrier, Constantine Shane, and Peg LeCentre among them. As a book, the original of tonight's dramatization topped and is still topping bestseller lists. It was a Book of the Month Club selection, and as I understand it, any resemblance to persons living or dead is just as it should be. At any rate, when you've heard us out, I think you'll agree with J.P. Markland that if there's to be any revision of the immigration quotas, let's have more Georgians. The capital of this particular Georgia, by the way, is not Atlanta, but Tiflis, the hometown of Joseph Stalin, where presumably, as in America, anything can happen. To Helen Smith, 568 North Irving Pitchell Street, dearest Helen. I think I call you Helena. Sounds better the way I pronounce Helena. Okay. Dearest Helena, before you and me get married, first I think I make confession. 6 months after I arrived in America, Helen, I weep with shame upon your shoulder. Already I am jailbird. Happened this way. Had my first American bought suit on, purple striped tie with handkerchief to match, and the real Yankee Doodle hat from straw. I felt happy and full of prance. 5, 6 other fellows and me is going for Sunday walk in public park. Suddenly, we see beautiful tree, all foaming over with white blossoms.
Flowers. Most beautiful flowers I've ever seen.
Fine sight calling Ingalls dogswood.
I'm going to pick them. Take bouquet to my girlfriend.
Good idea. I'll pick flowers for lady friends.
Hey, use your brains better, my friends. Why spoil trees?
Oh, plenty flowers for all. Come on, give me boost up.
Here's a fine branch.
Stolen flowers to lady. Shows no respect.
Hey, Kareel. Look, I think we got enough.
Sure. There's a policeman coming. Let's get out of here.
Here, Georgie. Hold the rest of my bouquet.
Well, where are you going?
I have to tie my shoelace.
You have to tie your shoelace?
George Papashvili, charge, defacing public property, violation of ordinance number 10351. How do you plead?
Not guilty, Your Honesty.
Young man, address the court as sir.
Yes, sir.
This officer says you and your friends were destroying public property.
Yes, sir. Dogswood tree. Someone's picking, I'm holding.
Have you any proof of this?
No, Highness. Friends was with me that they can't come today. They all plead guilty. Send in fine, cheaper than to lose day's pay.
Well, why didn't you do that?
If I'm guilty, I admit, Your Honesty. But if I'm not guilty, no man's going to make me say I am. Just as much a lie to say you're guilty when you're not.
How long have you been in the United States?
6 months.
In court before?
No, sir.
Ever in trouble at home? Assault or kill a man?
Yes, sir, many times.
How many times?
Hundreds of men I'm killing. After first year, I never counted them anymore.
Well, where was this?
In the war. I'm sniper. It's my job to shoot all Germans, you see. Your honorable German...
I understand. Officer, I believe he's a truthful man. This time you were probably mistaken. Case dismissed.
I'm free. I can go now.
Yes, but before you go...
Yes, sir?
Step up here to the bench, young man. I'd like to shake hands with you.
What they tell me is true. In America, anything can happen. Comes now winter of 1932, same by old calendar. And it grieves me to report that I am not yet rich. It's condition called depression. First, factories went, and one by one, little shops where somebody made his few pennies closed, left the empty windows staring like dead eyes in empty streets. Each day, more and more found pink slip means don't come back tomorrow. Why? Stock market, some people think, but how can stock market reach out and take my piece of bread? In house where I live, things is going bad with them, too. Friday, I stopped in by landlady to pay my rent.
Please be to sit down, Georg Ivanich. Join me in glass tea.
Oh, thanks, Anna Fyodorovna. Your distinguished father keeps well?
My father is, pardon the expression, old fool. He thinks he's still somebody because he was once admiral in Tsar's navy. Here he is.
Oh, my babushka. Such long faces. Good evening, Georg Ivanich.
You're looking fit, Your Excellency.
Cut this cake, Father. Be pleased to take some, Georg Ivanich. Is my father's name there?
Excellent cake, babushka. As good as the Tsar's own chef prepared for me on my name day at Kronstadt when I was admiral to the Imperial Navy.
Go ahead, enjoy, papasha. Who knows if you live to see another? Is any use to struggle more, I ask myself. Perhaps to die now is best thing. Give up. Stop living. Why not?
Well, maybe you wouldn't enjoy that any better either, Anna Fyodorovna, once you tried.
Oh, I know what we do. We go somewhere else. For that, at least, America is good. No matter where you are already, is always left another place to go.
Where we go?
Well, that takes time for deciding. Be quiet for a moment while I think.
Well, what's everybody so quiet about?
Hush, Luba. Your grandfather is thinking.
Hello, Luba. What you learn today in school?
I don't go to school anymore. I quit.
Quit?
Quit?
Quit school.
I've taken a job.
Doing what, Luba?
Usher in the movie.
Usher?
Oh, how much it pays?
I see every movie, 3, 4, 5, how many times I want, free.
Ah, the theater. She has it from me, the theater. How I loved. In Petrograd, we had box.
I have finished thinking.
Yes, papasha.
This time, we will go where everybody speaks in Russian. We go in Alaska.
They don't speak Russian in Alaska, Grandfather.
He's right, Excellency. Tsar sold the USA.
Ah, gossip. Nothing but gossip.
To pay his gambling debts with was the way I heard it.
Yes, yes. To Alaska. And the thick, quiet snow will fall and fall, frosting over the houses and the churches like little cakes. The bells will ring, and we shall see again the shining faces of our peasants. Yes, we all go. You too, Georgi.
Oh, but my junkyard. Why throw my job away? I don't want to go to Alaska.
Georgi. To go alone is impossible in the wilderness. Wolves be chasing us. A woman, weak, helpless. A child only. A frail old gentleman. We be eaten alive.
Anna Fyodorovna, please, don't cry.
The hand of God rests heavy on the widow.
Go! is gold in Alaska, just my mind. Of course you come with us. We dig for gold.
Okay, we dig for gold. Don't cry anymore, please, Anna Fyodorovna. Don't cry. It makes your tea weak.
Good. Only I have an intention to be a movie star, so I decided we're going to Hollywood.
Where is that?
In California, Hollywood. You go west.
Shall we not perish? Wolves be running alongside beside our droshky, closing in on us. We perish on the tundra, on the frozen steppe of Nebraska.
Turn right. Turn left. Right. Head at the helm, Georgi Ivanch.
Excellency, you've guided us the worst possible road. Why we don't take number 12 U.S. Highway out of Detroit?
My boy, you'll never learn. Experienced travelers always take the back road. That way you avoid the highwaymen, Tatar bandits, and marauding gypsies.
Day by day, I rode along and watched this wide, beautiful country open up before me. The automobiles going so whizzing fast, the proud motorcycles, the turning tractor treads, and the people. Mennonites from Russia, Bohemians from Prague, and Irish section gangs and Welsh slate miners whose voices rose and fell like singing birds. In a little while, in painted homes in Iowa, what they call first settlers, families with pioneers from Ohio and Vermont. And before that... Now, I don't feel bad no more about my broken language or my stranger ways. Now I see everybody in America is foreigner. Only different. Some come early and some come late. On we go on until about one day into Colorado, when His Excellency said he would take wheel and give me rest a while. I close my eyes, and when I open up, we are miles off road.
Now, Grigory Ivanch, do not say anything in haste that you might regret later. I can explain everything, the way this happened.
I don't doubt it. Whatever it was, I don't doubt it.
So, his truck boss. We separate, and Georgi Ivanich comes later with truck when he gets repaired. We send you money to fix truck from cost.
Where do you expect to get money in Los Angeles?
I have nephew, sister's oldest son. He lends me.
Know where lives this nephew?
Why, certainly I know he's my nephew, isn't it? Oh, worry no more. I send the money immediately. General delivery.
Almost a week passed. But last one morning, I went into post office.
Well, here's your letter.
Thank you. But no, it wasn't any letter. It was postcard from His Excellency.
In here, okay, arrive. Thanks be to God. Weather fine. He was twice on beach. Saw movie star in fish market. Your friend, Grigory Petrovich Vorontsov, Admiral, Imperial Navy. Postscriptum. I didn't find my nephew yet. Don't worry. I keep looking.
With not eating and working terrible hard on truck in desert, I was some fine sight, I tell you, when I finally come bedraggling into Los Angeles. I find finally place Excellency wrote me, but they wasn't there no more. Landlady give me address in Hollywood. I ring fancy doorbell. I wait.
Come in.
Oh, it's you,
Georgie. Luba, what has happened to you?
What's wrong with me?
Pink fur you're wearing. Pink fur. Boy, I like to see animals that thing come from.
Georgie Vanish.
Well, Anna Fyodorovna, your worry's all done. We unload the furnitures right now, huh?
We don't want that old junk.
You don't want old junk? Your mother's furnitures we brought all the way.
We got all new furniture. Put it on the scrap heap.
What's the matter with your daughter, Anna Fyodorovna? She gone crazy?
Worse, dear friend. Much worse. She is in movies now.
By now, I am nearly 3 years from old country. And all that time, I never heard one word spoken in our language, Georgian. Once on my day off, I took plenty of time, got dressed up, went over to university. Such big professors, I thought maybe one of them somewhere can speak Georgian. But professors shook heads, and one took book down from shelves.
Well, my boy, you realize you speak one of the few tongues in the world that is unrelated to any other language group?
Traces of Sumerian may be noted in it, I believe.
Then they asked me to speak to them in Georgian. But what was the use of that? To speak without hope of an answer is to beat on a split drum head. So I shook hands with them and went away. After that, I began to carry songs around with me in my throat, as some have pocket pieces to touch. When I walked along, I sang little bits that wouldn't stay out of my head. I was singing that way. So I went down to the new laundry for my shirt. The man behind the counter stared when he took the ticket from me. But I was getting used to that.
Hey, you know, you're singing a funny kind of language, all right? What do you do over there, hey?
I guess all languages are funny to those who are not speaking them, mister.
That's pretty good, huh? That's all right. Hey, let me tell you, we got a fellow work over here. Everybody call him Uncle John. You know, he speak a funny language, too. You know what he do? He put a piece of ones in the newspapers. Hey, I guess it was about 10 years ago. And he say like this. I pay $1,000 to anybody what can speak my language. That's what he say over there. A few people came, but nobody could speak him. Hey, you wait a minute over there. I call him. Uncle John! Uncle John! Hey,
Uncle John! Who
sings Carlos Napoli?
Carlos Huevo de Tano.
Gagamarza, Silo. Madala, Silo.
So at last, I hear my own language. After 3 years.
3 years? 3 years, and yet you complain? Think of me, my son. Today, I have heard the sound of home for the first time in 30 years.
And after that, every night, when my work was through, I would go there, and we would talk together in Georgia. We never got tired. The words rolled out from our mouths like the Kura River comes down in spring, and our ears were full of hearing. Fair sights in world, the best, yes, ever the best, is to meet with face of friend in land of the stranger. I didn't see Uncle John for a couple months or even a year at a time. But whenever America go too fast for me, with moving, different jobs, never twice people's faces, I took pleasure to think about Uncle John. Always somewhere, whatever the same. So, now Helen and my dearest wife-to-be. He's almost completed my confession. Only one thing more yet I should tell. When I bring news about you that we are engaged for marriage, all my friends, Anna Fyodorovna, His Excellency Admiral from Imperial Navy, Uncle John, Georgian, all greet me with long horse faces.
You take big chance, Georgi Ivanovich.
To marry with American girl? Big chance.
You say so. Name three good reasons.
First place, American young ladies don't like foreigner names. One young Russian knew him well. Immediately he married American young lady, she made him go to court to take the name Gerbert Goover.
Gerbert Goover? What for?
For honor after the president. Now, next election, Gerbert Goover don't win. How he feels then, that Russian fellow.
No good he feels.
We haven't told you the worst. American young ladies keep bod guts.
Bod guts? What bod guts?
Bod guts means writing down monies before you send.
Before I spend, writing down?
You stop in Russian club drinking glass vodka, eat this herring maybe for your stomach. You have to write down in bod guts first. I'm drinking vodka, 35 cents. Eating this herring too, 10 cents.
I don't believe you. Can't be true.
Well, it's no use making him feel bad. They are promised to each other.
Aye, that's right. Damage is done.
Well, I didn't pay any attention to them, and anything was fine. So now, Helen and I have family in America. Sister with sweet face that smiles. Even grandmother should have everybody a grandmother to make a dignified ornament for house. So I live under bright blue sky in my shining world until ladies is planning for wedding company. Remember, your grandmother is discussing.
Now, if you want to invite 10 or 11 people and 15 more of us here, see, we'd better count on about 30, I suppose. Now, Patty Shells, three... No, four chickens. Mushrooms.
I beg your pardon, you say four chickens?
Why, yes, George. Do you think that would be too much?
Grandmother, let's we face it. On subject food, never twins shall meet.
Suppose we do it this way. You tell us about a wedding breakfast in Georgia.
Well, first comes fishes. We get Uncle John to do the cooking. Maybe white sturgeon smoked over hickory, mountain trout fried in sweet butter, a kalmaki's big fish baked with sliced lemon in mouth, then caviar.
Oh, why, it sounds like a real good Shaw dinner back home in the state of Maine.
What comes next, George?
Gracious, is there more?
Well, next comes the meat. But first off, turkey, then shashlik and the roasted ox, and after... So at last, my Helen, a big day arrived. We married, you and I, wife and man together. So now, Helena, don't start our home by keeping secrets from each other. What Uncle John told you?
Another recipe.
Another recipe? My God, what was this one for?
If you want to be happy, married, he told me. At least once a day, say to your husband, I love you. And whenever you sit down to a table for a Georgian, remember, only too much is ever enough.
Give attention, please. Give attention, everybody. Please.
We drank a lot of toast today. For everybody as himself, for the children, for the mothers and fathers, for our hostess and our host. Now, I'm going to propose something different. Excellency, please to stop cracking nuts and listen to me.
Sorry, Uncle John.
Well, This little glass is for home. I see a lot of American faces around. I'd like to tell them we are pleased to see them at our party, especially since we had honor to be at their white table, which is United States in America. We tried to be good guests. I hope we were. This is one home. Lots of other kind of peoples we are here too. Georgians, Russians, Greeks, Latvian, Estonian, Irish, regular league nation. I drink for all those homes too. And it gives me hope when I see us sitting down so peaceful together. Maybe a whole world is going to learn how to do it too. After all, it's only enjoyable way to live. So, for home.
I drink with pleasure. For home. Its floor is the earth. Its roof is the sky.
For home.
Cresta Blanca Wine joins the audience here in Hollywood in applauding Anything Can Happen, Orson Welles' production on This Is My Best.
This Is My Best, on Tuned to Yesterday from April 24th, 1945 on CBS. And that wraps up this hour of drama on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden era. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for listening.